Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. We are sitting next to my guy, G. Gordon Robinson, as he is hitting the ones and twos here live from the Publix at Buckhead Landing, I believe is what is now called, right here across from Twin Peaks and Buckhead and Tower Place and all those things. This is the nicest Publix I've ever been in, Mike.
No doubt.
But I have to – I think I almost got the cops called on me this morning. Because I pull in, and I was getting my bag ready, and as I jump out, there's a nice lady walking across the parking lot. And it looked like here I am with a book bag and, you know, a hoodie on and everything. And I'm like, uh-oh, don't – I'm not here. I'm here for all the right reasons. And I walk up, and I said,
I'm here for all the right reasons.
I said,
that's one way to put it.
I said, it's just me, by the way. And I go, we're with the radio station?
Yeah.
And she looks around and I go, I mean, well, I am. And she goes, she said something. And I said, huh? And she's like, I said, how are you? I said, oh, I'm good. And it was the manager here, Elfrida, and she's phenomenal. She just brought us donuts and bagels. But I was very worried about how I walked into the store this morning that I might have came off like some kind of creeper.
Yeah. Look, man, it is – and you mentioned this is the nicest Publix I've ever been in. Guys, we're at 3300 Piedmont Road. Like you said, the Buckhead Landing location right here near where Piedmont and Peachtree Road cross. If you've ever been over this way, or if you haven't been over this way in a long time, it hasn't always been like this. The shopping center looks incredible, redoing a lot of things around here. Really cool scene. We are it feels ridiculous to say we're in a Publix because we're in – it feels like we're in a sports bar.
Because the area that we're sitting – in is a bar.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Growlers, the coolest Sam Adams decorative huge mug is sitting here. I might try to stink that out. It won't fit in my book bag, but maybe I'll just put it under my arm and see if I even notices. There is a there's a deli with a sushi hot bar, pizza pasta, and there's it's the coal oven, it looks like, over there.
Yeah.
I can see the fire right now. The produce looks like, so I remember going into the store when I was a kid. I always had got drugged to the store. My mom always made me go to the grocery shopping with her. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember walking through like the fruit and the vegetables and stuff. And this one just feels old school, the way it's set up, which I freaking love. I absolutely love this because you go to one side and you walk around, they got the frozen. Because now the frozen stuff is normally on the other side away, and this is over here. It's really cool, man.
Yeah, it's a cool location, man. Obviously, come out and holler at us. I've never seen a Publix like this. We are legitimately sitting inside of a sports bar. It is a Falcons Friday. We got so much stuff to talk about. I want to get to the injury report in just a second, but quickly, just a couple of headlines we'll be going over today. The Dodgers did advance to the NLCS with a 2-1 win over the Phillies last night. Throwing error in the 11th inning from the pitcher. I don't know how you felt about that, but it was definitely crazy. Giants hand the Eagles a second straight loss. I want to go there in just a second because a lot of craziness. But real quick, couple of pieces of basketball news. Eric Spoelstra will succeed Steve Kerr as a Team USA head coach. And LeBron James will miss the start of the Lakers season with sciatica. Which is interesting, but man, when you're in year 23, you do whatever you need to do.
I mean, right? just say what it is. He wants to take off some time to start the season. I have no issues with that.
No.
Let me tell you something. LeBron James irks me with some things he does, some things he doesn't do, but he has been the poster child for what a phenom coming out of high school should be. He's done everything right in his career on the court, except for flopping here and there. And I don't care. I'm glad that there's a whole generation, there's a new generation, I should say, I guess, growing up that gets to see LeBron play at the end.
Yeah,
and because I got Michael in his heyday, and I think Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player I've ever seen, and some people feel that way about LeBron. But the fact of the matter is, he's done nothing. He's never disappointed as far as going out and playing and doing everything right and being a model for the NBA. So the dude missed time. If you've got sciatica, you want to keep playing, keep playing. I want to touch all of these real quick because you brought him. Eric Spoelstra, probably one of the best X's and O coaches in basketball right now. It's good for him. You know, you can be happy the Phillies lost, sad for the player for the blatant throwing error, which was awful, and still laugh at the Phillies for the way they've treated other teams when they've eliminated them, all right? So don't give me some speech on Twitter about how I'm a bad person for laughing at the Phillies locker room, because I'm not.
6:07 a.m., there we go.
And, well, I've just seen some self-righteous, and it's media people. Horrible people laugh. I'm not laughing at the player. I feel bad for him. But it is funny, you know, nobody was complaining when Bryce Harper was taunting Orlando Arcia, okay? So save me. And the Giants, the epitome. This is the NFL in a nutshell. You lose on a Sunday in New Orleans to a winless team who had no pulse, and you lose by almost double digits. I think it was like 26-17. And you come home on a short week and beat the defending Super Bowl champions by double digits. That is the NFL in a nutshell.
Yeah, I had a lot of issues with this. I do want to let you guys, first of all, Jackson Dart at times did take over the game last night. Here's Brian Daboll talking about the performance of his rookie quarterback.
Another good game by a rookie quarterback, but another good game from everybody around him, and that's what we needed. You know, it's not about one guy. It's about a team. Two turnovers on defense, very good third down execution on offense, ran the ball well, finished the game. It's good to have a young leader like Dart.
Yeah, good to have a young leader like Dart.
That's a cool quote at the end, man.
Yeah. It definitely is, man, and obviously a lot of conversation. I think the two things that you're going to be talking about when we're talking about this game, other than the fact that the Giants were able to win, all right, first and foremost is the fact that Jackson Dart was being viewed in the medical tent looking for concussion symptoms. Russell Wilson comes in, makes an awful throw, awful read, gets booed off the field, and Brian Daboll absolutely unleashes it on the trainers on the sideline, and he just basically was stressed out. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, I don't blame him necessarily, but it's probably going to be a bad look coming off of this when he's yelling at trainers on the sideline when somebody's being looked at for concussion.
Yeah, I've got a lot on this because he was asked about it. And he apologized. He said, look, I apologize to our doctor. He goes, but I just wanted – if he was okay, I wanted him out there. And he's like, I wanted to go for that fourth down. So I was like, if I need to call a timeout, let me know because we're going for this SOB. Literally, that's his quote to the reporters. Here's the deal. Yeah, is it a bad look? Yeah. But in reality, it wasn't like Daboll was going to put him out there if he was hurt. He was just wanting to know the timeline. Because Brian Daboll is doing something that we complain about coaches not doing. A, he's showing emotion. All I ever hear is, well, Raheem Morris looks at the video board, and I want him to show emotion. I want him to act like he's coaching. Well, you can't get mad at Daboll if that's what you say, because that's what he was doing. But he's also coaching for his job in real time. And we saw the sense of urgency. You have a team on the ropes. You're trying to finish this game or at least put it to where you can try to have a, you know, give yourself a gap where they can't maybe come back. Like, he was coaching for his job in that moment. So I have no issues with that emotion. And everything he's doing is coaching for his job. Jackson Dart being out there, they have two stud rookies. They're winning game. They won a game last night against one of the best teams in the NFL, one of the best defenses in the NFL, with or without Jalen Carter, without their best player on offense, yeah, who is torn his knee up, and we don't know when he'll be back.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think the other, and I mentioned, I think there's two main storylines coming off of this Thursday night football game other than the result. The other one for me, the tush push, and it's going to be back in kind of the crosshairs of a lot of people talking about the NFL. Whether or not you think it's fair, I'm just going to say this, it's not entertaining. And yesterday you saw that play out. At one point the Eagles got inside the 5-yard line and they tush pushed four straight plays for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely ridiculous. I mentioned this on Twitter last night. It's only a matter of time, and maybe you'll see this next offseason if they don't ban it, before we have 11 big men on the field. And a defensive lineman taking a snap and having every big guy you have push him forward and get into a rugby scrum. I mean, it's going to get to the point where we're going to be second and three and they're going to be breaking into the tush push. It's absurd. I mean, to me, it's say what you want to about fairness or whatever else, it's not freaking entertaining. It's awful to watch. I'm tired of it, man. Every time they trot it out there, I'm like, here we go.
Yeah. So I don't like it because it's not entertaining for me to watch. The second thing is if you want to say, well, it's legal, what if I told you that it's ran illegally? Because if you go watch the line of scrimmage, the guards jump every time. The offensive guards, not only are sometimes they're lined up in the neutral zone, but they're moving early.
Yeah.
They're not moving on the ball. It's impossible the way they do that play. They're moving early. So why can we – but the way it's disguised and the way you have to line up, it's kind of hard to see that they're moving early.
Yeah.
Why is it not called? That's what I would say. I just – here's the deal. It's not about stopping it. Not something for me. I'm with you as far as it's not fun football. It's not entertaining. And, yes, we watch sports for entertainment. And at this point, the competitive edge has been lost because you're moving early. And we want to sit here in Atlanta and talk about creativity on offense. What is creative about this?
Yeah, it's not. And it's kind of an interesting conversation we'll have to get into here in a little bit. We're going to hear from Zach Robinson coming up at 6:20 and some of the questions surrounding his job being on the field, the Oklahoma State thing, and all the other stuff going on with him in this offense. I do want to mention the Falcons injury report. We are now officially in kind of the work week for the Atlanta Falcons with Monday Night Football. Everything kind of moves up from a Wednesday practice to a Thursday practice. So the Falcons putting out the injury report yesterday. A couple of the highlights of that: limited participation, A.J. Terrell. Sounds to me like he wants to play and feels good about playing. We'll hear from him later on in the show. But the DNP that did not participate with Darnell Mooney and also Clark Phillips. What does that tell you? Read between the lines here. Show me what the tea leaves say that Darnell Mooney not practicing A.J. Terrell was limited yesterday.
Well, look, I guess you can go a couple different ways. Do you want to go by what we just saw with A.J.'s hamstring, which would mean, you know, looks like, you know, which was an extra week, right? And his looked worse than Darnell's when it happened. Yesterday was essentially Wednesday for Atlanta. So before we rule him out with the Twitter docs and everything, let's see if he practices on Saturday. Because to me, Saturday's the day.
Yeah.
Kadarrell Hodge being back in a limited participation role, which is a good thing, helps, right, with that? Because Casey can be Darnell and Kadarrell can be, you know, Kadarrell, where he's supposed to be, right? So I don't really read anything into it because I think on a first week of practice, you played, you tell me. But to me, Friday's the day because which is Saturday this week, guys, because it's pushed back. But that's the walkthrough day where you're really going through the game plan stuff.
Yeah, I think that, look, when you look at Saturday being the day, the thing that stinks about this is for A.J. Terrell, I'm comfortable with that. But the way Darnell Mooney has looked throughout the season, it hasn't been good. Like, he needs the timing. He needs those reps to be able to kind of get back in the throes of things. Normally I'd say, well, you know, he's a veteran. He knows how to handle this kind of thing. But with him, I want those repetitions. I'd almost rather see it go a different direction if we are missing, you know, today's practice as well. So that's something we have to break down throughout the show. We are the Morning Shift. We're live out here at Publix and Buckhead Landing. That's at 3300 Piedmont Road. And we will roll on. We are going to hear from Zach Robinson coming up on the other side. It is a Falcons Friday. Make sure you stick right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift, live from Publix Buckhead Landing. It's just an absolutely phenomenal establishment right now. If you guys have not been to this Publix, this has got to be the marquee Publix of their entire. I don't know where they have probably 500 Publix out there. I can't imagine one is nicer than this. If you haven't seen it, make sure you come check it out. We're at 3300 Piedmont Road Northeast. It is a Falcons Friday. We're obviously talking all things Atlanta Falcons. Touched earlier on the Thursday night football game and obviously the Major League Baseball playoffs, which were insane yesterday. I don't know how much of that game you caught yesterday with the Cubs and the Brewers, but that one's going to a game five. I mentioned this to you earlier. I'm not sure for a turnaround day or a travel that there is a quicker travel than going from Chicago to Milwaukee. It's like an 80-mile train ride. Like, those guys are sleeping in their own bed, the Chicago players. And most of them live north of town anyway, probably up in Evanston. So a lot of craziness with that one.
You know, they wish they were still playing, too. Chicago wishes they were playing today.
And, oh, no doubt.
Because they got hot last night. Real quick, I'm torn on this because, personally, I wouldn't mind seeing Chicago win. Never been a big Brewers guy. And I like Dansby. I'm pulling for him. I talked about that yesterday. But I don't think Chicago can beat the Dodgers. And I do think the Brewers can beat the Dodgers with the pitching that they have. So I'm torn on who I want to win. And I've got friends that are Cubs fans. You, your cousin Nate, I consider him a friend. And so I wouldn't mind seeing him. But then again, like, you know, I don't like any of these teams. Just like I said with Philly, I don't mind. The Philly-Dodgers game was like, that series was like picking between Emperor Palpatine and Darth Vader. I mean, can they both
go lose? Ahead, Dylan. Go ahead.
Well, I'll say this real quick. You do got one former Brave, at least, on the Brewers. You got Wild Bill out there.
Oh, yeah.
That's true, I guess.
you can pull for him. It is interesting to watch all that play out. And like you said, the Dodgers get the win against the Phillies yesterday. It was an 11-inning affair. Here's how I feel about it, and we're going to get into all this Zach Robinson stuff. I'm not sure anybody can beat the Dodgers. That's the unfortunate situation. So if that's the case, I'd rather pull for a team like Chicago to be able to do it. There's so many storylines there. Craig Counsell obviously literally jumped ship from Milwaukee to head down to the Cubs just a couple of years ago. So it's interesting to kind of keep tabs on that entire ordeal. But I think it's Shota Imanaga that will go for Chicago in 2 days when they face off in Game 5 of that series. So we'll have our eyes peeled on that. A lot of action yesterday when it comes to Flowery Branch. And I want to hear from a couple of cuts, both from Zach Robinson and, you know, Zach Robinson being asked numerous things about being on the field. But also, here's Zach Robinson when he was asked a question about his name being floated for the Oklahoma State job.
I'll kind of leave that, but just honestly just focus on today.
Yeah, kind of leave that. We'll just focus on today.
Well, look, there's I've seen too many of these. I've seen Nick Saban in Miami sit here and say how he would never leave Miami. It was blah, 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 blah. And then he's called a liar for years. It took him like probably 7 or 8 years for people in the media to stop calling Nick Saban just a liar. And fans still do because of that. And so I think Zach Robinson had the perfect answer. Like, it's not like Zach Robinson is texting with the AD about his contract or what he wants or that kind of stuff. I guess Zach Robinson probably hasn't been contacted at all. His agent.
I was going to say.
Maybe, but not Zach Robinson.
The couple of middlemen that are involved. And I'm sure there's – I don't know what that conversation goes like. I've never been a part of one of those, but I have to imagine it's an AD, you know, calling an agent going, hey, just curious if he would have any interest. Is there any possibility, you know, before we kind of move that route or before we start to kind of wait on him? And I think he is the perfect candidate for that job. We've had our ups and downs here with Zach Robinson in terms of how I feel about his play calling and, you know, the depth of the playbook. But I think that's a place that you can go. You can kind of develop your own style, if you will, and you can do things a lot differently in the college game. Here's a cut, and this is Raheem Morris. He was on Dukes and Bell yesterday. They asked him about the possibility of Zach Robinson leaving.
It's very normal. Like, it's not normal to everybody else in the world that don't know, you know. But, like, in the coaching business, that's what happens. When you do a good job and you're sought after, that's what we all look for our guys. When I got here, I talked about having a developmental staff and having people, hiring people that are smarter than you, that you want to put in position to have great things happen. So I know this about Zach. He knows how he gets those jobs is do the greatest job he can for the Atlanta Falcons. And that's all he worries about. That's what he cares about. That's what we built in. That's what our character is. That's what our makeup is. That's everything that we're about. So, like, we don't worry about those things. That the other stuff is fun for you guys to talk about, and those things come up when you guys get a chance to talk about who's going where, who's doing what. I mean, we've somehow found a way to make Black Monday a fun thing in the National Football League. So when it happens during the season, I've been a part of it for a lot of years. When it's whether it was getting the Atlanta job or was interviewing for other jobs, your focus doesn't change when you want to do, and you got as much compassion and passion for your team and care for the guys that you're around. You want to win football games for your guys. You don't care about all that stuff.
Yeah. All right, let's put it this way. What's more distracting, having a guy, you know, talking about what you would do for 30 minutes with an AD on a phone call or a Zoom or whatever, an interview, or going and talking to the media where they try to throw darts at you and daggers and try to catch you to say something? The media obligations that these guys have is just as distracting as anything else. It's taking.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Absolutely.
You don't actually believe that. Let me just throw it out to you like this. And I'm all about Zach Robinson taking this job, but to say that a media obligation is as distracting as being a college head football coach at the end of the season.
No, it's not about being.
Ridiculous.
No, I'm not talking about being the coach. I'm talking about being speculated about it and interviewed.
The problem is that it's not just speculation. It's clear that there is a game plan being laid out to me. I don't think he's accepted the job, but let's just say that there's.
I don't know. We don't even know if he's even been interviewed for the job.
Let's just. Come on. Come on now. If he wouldn't have at least had a phone call about it, he would have just said, I haven't heard anything about it.
The phone call was from his agent and said, they're asking if you're interested. Are you interested? Sure. I'll listen.
But here's my point. Let's move past that. Okay, yeah, I'm interested. The AD says, okay, well, we're waiting on him. All right, we're just going to wait on him. He's our number one priority. Okay, then how does it build from there?
Well,
then all of a sudden we're talking about general managers. We're talking about coaching staffs. We're talking about transfer portal players.
Yes,
that's a whole nother level.
But it would have came out that he's interviewed had he interviewed. There is no secret in college football anymore. We literally know guys are on Zooms with players that are head coaches, with players that are on teams, and this happening probably one happened last night.
I agree with you from that aspect. I just don't think there's an interview. That's my point. I don't think there's an interview at all. I think he's the number one priority for them.
Well, I would if I was an Oklahoma State fan, then I would be livid that I've had the same coach for the last 17 years.
Yeah,
and they fire him to go hire his quarterback at one point in time.
He lasted for 17 years for a reason.
But they don't interview anyone else. I mean, there's nobody else in the college landscape that might want to take one of the richest jobs in the country as far as the money that goes into the school.
I'm not faulting anybody here. My point in answering, you know, what you're trying to say is just as distracting, saying that's ridiculous.
Because if we get
to December and Oklahoma State still doesn't have a head coach, I'm pretty much going to guarantee you it's going to be Zach Robinson.
If I knew that he interviewed or accepted the job, I would say, yeah, he's probably got his toes in too many things. But the reality is we don't know that. What we're talking about is he's been speculated as a candidate. How did he feel about it? And then the question with Raheem, I believe, was, is that distracting for him being a candidate? And Rod's like, no, we do this all the time. This is what we do. The question wasn't about he's not going to be the head coach and he's putting the staff together. Those are two different things. And I think most of these guys already know who they want to take with them when they go places. Raheem had it was reported when Raheem was interviewing for jobs that if he got a job, he was taking Zach Robinson with him.
Yeah.
Someone had already had the same conversation
about D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Sloat.
Yeah,
remember
that?
I mean, but
that's my point is like they've already thought about all this. It's not anything different for them.
My point being is that I don't think any of it's technically a distraction. I don't think that the media obligation takes any priority over that. I think the whole thing, a media obligation's done when it's done. I think the whole thing about being speculation around him being the head coach, that just lingers.
So
like, it's just out there. He's texting buddies. He's talking about recruits. He's like whatever else. There's a million
things. So you don't think going to in front of the media and getting hammered about a bad outing or like he did after the Carolina game, you don't think that – do you think that's over right then? You don't think people are like, man, they went after you or that was rough, or you don't think that he might have heard something for the first time that maybe stuck with him? My
point being is that he's being paid by the Atlanta Falcons to do that right now.
Yes,
he's
I agree.
Not being paid by Oklahoma State.
But we don't know – but we're speculating that he is doing stuff that we have no clue he's doing. That we haven't even been reported that he's actually been contacted. It's just
okay. If he had not, then why wouldn't he have said I haven't been contacted?
The question wasn't, have you been contacted?
What was the question? Because I know G Money's the one that asked it. Garrett.
The way I understood it was, is there speculation about you being, and I'll pull up. I know Josh Kendall retweeted Garrett's question, and he was basically like, "Hey, you know, there's speculation that you're a candidate for the job," and he was like, "I'll just leave it there."
And let me just say this: I don't mind that he's a candidate for the job. As a matter of fact, I hope he gets the job. I think it'd be a great job for him. I think he's a good dude. I think he's got. I think he's very smart in the way he goes about things. But
okay, here's a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Asked if he had been contacted by Oklahoma State. He says, "I'll kind of leave that and just focus on today."
That's exactly what I'm saying, though. Like, if he had not, why not say no? I haven't.
Well, I think we knew that he had been contacted.
Sure.
I think the point is, though, is that we don't know if he's had an interview. And again, because of how I've heard things go, contacted to me means they talked to his agent.
For sure.
Doesn't mean they AD didn't text Zach Robinson about, hey, dog, you want this job?
And I'm sure the agents talked to Zach.
Yeah, but he said, hey, they're interested. Would you be interested in seeing what it would look like? And I'm sure he said, yeah.
I think it's a little bit unfair, in my opinion, to say his media obligations with the Atlanta Falcons are more pressing or more of a distraction than anything he's doing Oklahoma
State.
I think we're going to get the snowball effect.
What do you mean?
I think it's just going to build. The further into the future we get on this, it's
going to
become more and more.
But we are talking about it more than they are in that building. You know that.
For sure.
And I don't believe for any second right now that his agent texting him that they're interested in him took hours upon hours away from him game planning for the last 2 weeks for a Buffalo defense.
Yeah, we're talking about a lot of things more than they are in that building. You know, the pistol, the depth of the running back's heels, things like that.
Yeah.
And we got to talk about a lot more when we come back. We're going to hit a little bit of college football, man. Massive slate tomorrow. Some movement in the injury situations around. It looks like maybe John Mateer might give it a go. I don't know. We'll talk about that. We'll break it down on the other side of the break for the morning shift. It's Sports Radio 92.9.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live from Publix at Buckhead Landing, 3300 Piedmont Road. It is the morning shift. My name's Mike. That is Bo, and the commissioner, G Money, down there holding it down, keeping us on the air. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. It is a Falcons Friday, although they do not play until Monday Night Football. We got so much college football to get to. I got to tell you one thing before we get started on college football. There is a business out there, a business plan that I visited yesterday. Printing money. You ready for this? Low overhead, only in business about 2 months a year. Have you been to a Spirit Halloween lately?
Oh yeah, those places.
Dear God.
Well,
that
no,
place.
They pay. They've got to pay a premium for the rent though when they go to those places.
Yeah, you know the one I visited yesterday.
Because
I don't
empty.
Think they're paying that much for.
But see, there used to be. So there used to be one right here.
Yeah.
Where we're like,
I remember that.
This complex that we're in right here in Buckhead Landing. With this nicest Publix I've ever been to. It used to be one at the very end down here. Now it's a Golf Galaxy, I think, or something.
Yeah.
And then there was – so they pop up randomly. I've been in that one before. Yeah, they're
– printing money.
I don't – they've got to be – there's got to be more than just Halloween. Like, they've got to have a
They're launching something new this year. I'm going to have to go back and Google it, but they did announce that they're launching something new this year.
While you're Googling,
okay,
I will tell you that Saturday, which is tomorrow, from noon to 2, you can join me and the commissioner, Gordon Robinson, at Bulldog Kia of Athens. And we will get ready for Monday's game. We'll have one lucky winner win the ultimate tailgate kit, 50-inch 4K smart TV with a rolling stand and other prizes. That's a whole thing, a whole tailgate kit. Plus, another winner takes home tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, that's Saturday, noon to 2, Bulldog Kia of Athens with me, Gordon Robinson. The commissioner will be there. Sports Radio 9 on the game, all of us. There'll also be tickets for Ice Cube, I know.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go. They're going to start doing a Christmas store.
Yeah, they've got to. So my
they're
neighbor
start doing more Christmas stores.
My neighbor, her sister lives in Cali, and they do Christmas sweaters, ugly Christmas
there
sweaters.
There you go.
And that's their whole – now, that really is their whole business.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy because, you know, I've seen, like, their little – I've seen pictures of their warehouse. It's wild. But, yeah, it's all Christmas sweaters.
I got caught up in it yesterday, man. I was, you know, I bought, like, 3 tombstones and, you know, just – I went there anyways.
Pizzas?
No, I wish.
I think they got
a lot cheaper.
You think they'd care if I go to the frozen department, find a couple of tombstone pieces, and throw them on that fire?
Yeah, it's going to happen at some point because, Dylan, we got to talk about college football. We are going to make our picks today for some of these matchups coming up at 7:40. There are some interesting lines. We've been talking about it throughout the week. You know, the Bama, the Georgia, obviously the top 7 matchup between Indiana and Oregon. But I do want to talk quickly about the Red River Rivalry, they call it now, which is happening at the Texas State Fair. There's been a lot of conversation around quarterback John Mateer. Remember, he was on kind of a Heisman campaign for Oklahoma before he gets injured just a couple of weeks ago. Has the hand procedure, I believe it was, from Dr. Shin out there in Oklahoma, a miracle worker of sorts. Here's Brent Venables talking yesterday about John Mateer's recovery.
I don't know anything about the injury. So I'm just, when they tell me he's available, I'll let y'all know.
Brent, you talked about the rest of the season.
Oh, sorry.
Preserving that. Just how's that balance? How are you going about it?
I'm just lean on the doctors. I'm not an expert in any of it.
Yeah, I got okey-doked right there. I was, a little bit of a double dutch when it comes to playing the clip. You know, I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out. Got to fully commit. He was upgraded to probable. Upgraded to probable yesterday.
I'm still not sure Venables isn't done talking. I don't know. He might be taking a long pregnant pause there.
Reminded me of when Steak asked Raheem a question in his opening press.
Do you want me to answer your question? That was great. I forgot about that. I mean,
so good.
Look, we called this the other day. I said if he's questionable, he's playing.
I said the same thing.
I said we.
We
talked about it, and I was like, and you agree with me, and we were going talking about it. I mean, that there was no reason to even update his status if he wasn't going to play.
The reason I reacted that way is because I watched two different shows yesterday. Well, one was a podcast, one was a show, where they all reacted completely different. And they were like, this is smoke and mirrors. He's not going to play. This is them just trying to throw Texas off. They practiced indoors in great weather the other day, kind of be secretive about it. I don't know, man. You and I both said it yesterday. If he's probable, he's playing. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I even thought.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Even when he was questioned, probable he's playing. There's no doubt.
Let me ask you from this angle, because this was floated yesterday on the socials and a couple of the things I was listening to. They were basically saying if he's not like 1,000%, don't play him because Oklahoma can still get into the playoff conversation with a close loss. And they know the committee will go back and look at an injury and say, well, they were without their quarterback at the time.
I also think the committee, if the committee's looking that closely, then they're going to say they lost closely to Texas, who was a, you know, look, despite their struggles, they still have some good players on that team, and it was Mateer's first game back, and he was limited. So if they're looking as closely as that these people are saying, they're going to take that into account too. And look, I think Oklahoma could lose 2 games and make the playoff. We've talked about this. They're 6th in the country right now. They've got a championship caliber defense. So we've seen the blueprint. Florida showed you the blueprint last week to beat Texas. Run the ball down their throat. Because they are not good against the run for whatever reason, and they're not good up front on offense either.
Yeah.
So Oklahoma is good on both. I know they're good. They're good defensively up front. I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke up and tell you I know how great their offensive line is, but I know their defensive line is pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a better. And I'm trying to think. I think you could say that. Maybe when Lane and Kirby face off, but I don't know that there's a better offensive head coach versus defensive head coach matchup. Like, this is pretty good. Like, we're going to see Sark has to pull a rabbit out of his hat, with everything they have going on. And I've agreed with some of the takes I've seen. I think Arch Manning is catching a lot of flack that should be shouldered on Steve Sarkisian.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Their offensive line's been terrible. They have no missed tackles. They don't look like they're playing a tough brand of football. I'll be curious to see what Brent Venables is able to roll out.
They didn't reload in the trenches the way everyone just assumed they did.
Yeah.
And Arch has suffered for it. Not to mention the weight of the world's been put on him. I mean, he was everybody's Heisman favorite. He was everybody's first. I mean, there were NFL analysts saying the
Saints.
Yeah, sorry, I dropped the ball on that one. They were saying that the Saints were going to tank for Arch.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
I mean, how's that looking right now?
The Browns too.
I mean, so tell you what, man, we assume a lot in this business.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. All right, so from one rivalry game to another one, we're going to talk a little bit about Auburn against Georgia. I said this to Rusty yesterday. This matchup to me is a lot about can Georgia get home on Jackson Arnold. I think that Hugh Freeze will do everything in his power to be able to kind of move the pocket, move things around to make sure that that's not happening. But can Georgia's front four, or maybe even a plus one, get home on Jackson Arnold, who loves to hold the ball? If I gave you the over-under Georgia having 2.5 sacks on Jackson Arnold.
I'd take the over because he's
going to burp the baby.
Jackson Arnold is what Justin Fields and Russell Wilson are. He'll find a team that doesn't get sacks, and he'll throw them 2 or 3 sacks because he holds the ball. Now,
Caleb Williams is
notorious. Caleb Williams and Russell Wilson seemingly run into them.
Mm-hmm.
Justin holds the ball a little long. Those other two guys run into them. And sometimes skip the ball down the field.
Yeah. That obviously is going to be an interesting game coming up this weekend. That crazy things happened at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Crazy things happened down there.
I've not been to near as many college football stadiums as you because you played in so many. But I've been to a few SEC schools, and Jordan-Hare is the loudest one I've ever been to. The 2006 wow. Florida-Auburn game, which was, I think, Florida was like second or third, and it had Tebow. They were undefeated. It was the freshman year. Tebow was the title.
First league, yeah.
Yeah. That was the second half of that game. I've never heard a stadium louder. I had a splitting migraine headache. It was so loud in there.
Yeah. That's going to be kind of interesting to watch go out and play. One of the popular upset picks of the week is obviously my Alabama Crimson Tide headed up to play in Como at noon. Both these lines look like they're the same, right in the same window. 3, 3.5 for both these games. We've talked about it throughout the week. Missouri's a really good football team, but the way I keep looking at them is they ain't played nobody, Paul. And I think that – is it Ahmad Hardy, the name of that running back? Number one running back right now in the country in terms of yards gained. Bama's defensive front's going to have to play at a very high level if they're going to come out and win, or simply keep your offense on the field the entire game.
What worries me about this is the time.
Yep, I agree.
It is so hard. Like, whenever I see – it's been a long time, but whenever my college team is good and they have a noon kick anywhere – on the road, it just terrifies me.
Yeah.
Hell, even when they're – I mean, it terrifies me more now. Florida had to play Miss State last year in Starkville at 11 a.m.
That's a rough one. I've been there. I've played a couple of those rough 11 Central games. Oh, dude. At Vandy, at Arkansas, at Mississippi State, those are absolutely brutal when that wake-up call comes.
The good thing is Columbia will be rocking, right?
Yeah.
That place will be – it'll be rocking because it's a big game. But it's just hard. It's just everything's moved up. And you've played two physical teams in a row, Alabama has.
You also, I don't know that you've completely buried the whole thought that your defense stinks on the road the way that Kalen DeBoer's defense and Kane Womack's defense has over the last couple of years. Obviously what happened against Florida State happened. You lost at Oklahoma in a team that was playing left-handed against Oklahoma last year. There's a lot of things that they need to cross over. Here's what I will say, because I've hated this since it started happening, but the one change that Kalen DeBoer has made, other than, against what Nick Saban used to do, they practice in the morning. So I wonder if that will help,
maybe,
a noon Central game, the fact that they usually are on the field at 8 a.m.
I think Kalen DeBoer is kind of – he kind of gets a bad rap to me at times in this conference. I think he's a very good coach. Problem is, Eli Drinkwitz kind of lives for these little games.
He does.
And he's a little bit of a mad scientist.
I agree.
So
this is the biggest game to me. Maybe I'm wrong. You tell me. It feels like the biggest game to me of his tenure at Missouri.
Oh, I believe so. With what's on the line, look where they are, and they're, I know that they haven't really played anybody. They're 5-0. They're 14th in the country. You know, I'm going now. I want to see what Missouri's schedule is, because it's this game, and then it's kind of a tough stretch with Auburn, at Auburn, at Vandy, which is tougher than we realized. Then home versus A&M, and then looming is Oklahoma around right before Thanksgiving, and Mississippi State is not a walk through.
Mississippi State's going to knock off one of these games at some point for sure.
This would be a huge win to give them a big push.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's not only how big the game is, but it's trying to look forward to see what would happen if they did win. And I think that's a big topic of conversation up there in Como, Missouri this weekend. We still have so many more college football games that I want to break down. Man, it's such a good slate tomorrow. We obviously will do more college football at 7:40 today, and make sure you stick with us to listen to all that. We are the Morning Shift. We're live from Buckhead Landing out here having a great time, 3300 Piedmont Road. It's I know they call the Taj Mahooters, the Hooters up in Buford. Yeah. We're going to come up with a name for this Publix by the end of this. Yeah. This place is insane. We're literally sitting in a sports bar in Publix.
The Palace of Publixes.
See, I don't – we got to talk to somebody about the plural of Publix. I just don't know.
I don't know. Yeah
I think Publicy.
We can work –
I think Publix is just Publix. It's like there's not a there's not an S on other stores. Like, you know, I don't know, but we're sitting in a sports bar. We're just sitting in a sports Publicy. Bar, and we're looking at a coal oven that cooks pizza, that the fire is burning. Like, yeah. And in between it is produce.
Just down to warm bagel. Oh, man, we're having a good time out here. Make sure you come by and hang out. 3300 Piedmont Road, a lot of fun. Just a beautiful, beautiful complex they've got going on here. Hey, we're going to roll on. It is a Falcons Friday. They play on Monday. But we have so much more to get to. A lot of sound coming out of Flowery Branch yesterday. We're going to hear from Zach Robinson once again on the other side. He's talking about the switch down to coaching on the sideline and what the differences might be, whether or not he's going to stay down there. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.